guy that knows a little something about service vehicles in his spare time up in the deep woods of Minnesota. One Kevin McHale joins us right now. Coach, you would have a field day in the place we're at right now. Trailer, wheel, and frame. They've got everything you need for your trailer, your truck. I mean,
I already like it. I have a lot of stuff I need. I may give you a shopping list here when we're done.
It's not shocking to me. You just text it like you do anything else, and I'll turn it over to the guys, and they'll start working on it for you, because this would be a place that I know you would fit right in on. Welcome back. We've got Keenan McCardell, and we've got Travis Johnson on a Friday with you, and want to get your thoughts on some things. First and foremost, Demo, the deal finally gets done. Was that a little surprising to you that the Rockets matched the deal, and then B.J. Armstrong says, we've got some options, we're going to hang out and see what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I think all that, you know, they've been playing such a game of chicken, it's hard to say. Normally, by that time, you said, hey, we're going to match. You've done a lot of the legwork behind the scenes, so everything's not out in public. And, you know, look, I've said it all year long. I think that Demo will fit in nicely with Mike's system, D'Antoni. I think the one thing right now, the Rockets are playing very well. They're scoring up a storm. What kind of diversity are they going to be able to have as far as when the other team, does the other team goes big or their shots aren't dropping? Demo gives you the ability to play big. You can play him along with Capella. And he gets more, you don't have the shooting of Anderson, but you get more playmaking and stuff out of that four spot. You can play Demo at the center and you get good playmaking there. You have, all playmakers on the floor. They can go small. It gives you a lot of versatility, I think. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's kind of a strange, event right now, kind of where you match, he doesn't want to come, and I just hope it all gets cleared up.
Yeah, I mean, look, you and I said the one thing lacking on this Rockets team, the defense is better than we had expected. They're getting it done right now, but the most important thing was they didn't have one guy that you could drop the ball down in the low post at a key moment in the game and said, go get me 2 points. No low post scoring at all.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Demo can do that. When everything's going good and you're playing really well, sometimes I think fans get a little bit of, oh my goodness, this is the best team in the history and all this stuff. And the reality is how you play when you're playing poorly. All these shots aren't going in. What's plan B? The other team's mauling you on the boards. What's your plan B? What's your team to offset that? The other team's running you out. What's your best fast team? What's your best big? What's your best physical? What's your best team to slow it down? You have to have all of those answers inside of an 8 or 9 man rotation. And when you have that, that's good. I just think Demo helps them with some of those solutions to problems that you have on a nightly basis in the NBA. So, but I look at they're playing well. I'm happy for them. They're scoring up, and I've always been a fan of Mike's system. He gets out. They shoot threes. They go on these runs, and they're playing well. So I'm good for them. Happy for them.
Hey, Coach. So question. So about his contract. It's Travis here. Good to hear from you. About his contract. Why do you think they didn't put those $6 million incentives in one? And then why do you think the Nets didn't put a poison pill to make sure they got the guy that they wanted, two?
Yeah, I don't know. I think everybody's a little bit leery of his back, Rockets included. When the whole thing went down last year with Detroit and then he didn't pass the physical. I think everybody says, can we get Demo, but can we get him at a value because he does have this problem with his back. I mean, he's been hurt before. It's not like you sprained your ankle. I mean, when you start talking backs and some other stuff, that that's pretty serious stuff. But I've talked to Demo not too long ago. He said he feels really good, and if Demo is healthy, he can really help you. So the only reason I probably can answer that I can think of is they were all very concerned about his health. Everybody. And that's probably why Daryl didn't sign him to a longer-term deal that Demo wanted last summer. And I honestly think they probably could have got this deal done last summer had everybody just put their heads together and, B.J. Armstrong not getting mad and Demo just letting bygones be bygones and Daryl and his staff just saying, hey, look, we're going to take a chance on the guy and, he might get hurt. All this stuff probably could have been done last August, but unfortunately for everybody, it wasn't.
Hey, Coach, this is Keenan. Does this make the Rockets a better team, far as in the Western Conference? Was this move a move to be able to match up with Golden State and have Demo as a five and be the rim protector and then still be able to play small? Or how does this move make the Rockets better?
I just think it gives him more versatility. I just think that Demo can do some different stuff. He can play the five, like you said. He can play a little bit of a power game at the four where he can go down there against, you know, I know the year that we lost to Golden State in the conference finals, you know, Demo was hurt. Really, you know, Demo could have really helped us down there in that low box, just going against Green, because, you know, Green's a good defender, but Green is still only 6'6", maybe, yeah. 6'6", you know, 6'6 and a half. And Demo go over the top of those guys, and you need some of those guys that can slow the game down when you really need a hoop. And you know, that year that we ended up going to conference finals, and we closed a lot of games with Demo. I put Demo right on the box a yes, lot yeah. in that fourth quarter, and we closed a lot of games going through him. He'll pass it out of there. He was scoring down there. He had a lot of confidence, so he gives him versatility. I think he helps him again, man. You know, when you're dealing with your back, as you guys know, oof, it doesn't take yes, much, and yeah. If that thing goes bad again, I'm not really sure that Demo is going to be able to be an effective NBA player.
Coach, what you really needed during that Golden State series was someone to knock Draymond Green on his ass. But that's another story for another day.
Yes.
I also want to talk about you watching a lot of NBA basketball. And I know that the matchup everybody, including myself, was looking at the other night was the Clippers and the Warriors. I was a guy out there saying that the Clippers were a team that had turned the corner. They deepened their bench. They lengthened their rotation. That they looked like a team that was on the come and really ready to compete with Golden State. And we saw completely different story. We saw a team that had got, much like we were just talking about, they got away from going to the low post. Blake Griffin doesn't even smell the low post. They're enamored with the three ball, and they're not making them. Redick has a bad night. And yet Golden State finds a way to win because they beat them by 20 points in the paint, and they realize when they're not making their threes, they attack the basket. Did that send a message, or is that just one of those nights and one of those bad games for the Clippers?
I think the last couple of weeks has sent a message, because even prior to the last couple of weeks, I thought the Clippers, you know, when I watched them play, there's so many things that I look at that it's so hard to describe in a 2 second soundbite. But you look at the vibe on the team. How are they playing together? Are they together? When things don't, you know, a bad pass, does a guy look at you and say, no, don't worry about it? Or does he do the eye thing and, you know, look at the bench like, what the hell is this guy doing? This guy can't play. I always thought the Clippers had a lot of weird body language and weird stuff that when things didn't go well, I thought they turned, instead of inward and together, they turned the outward and they yes. started showing displeasure. I never feared them. I always thought that, you know, they were a team that they would implode if you could push them to that point. I thought they were past that. They lost three games on the road on an East Coast swing or a road trip. And the Clippers game, or excuse me, the Warriors game, it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, the Warriors just dismantled them. Yeah. So I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I saw that early. I think they can get back to that. I think some of the guys they added helps with the chemistry, and I think they can become a really tight unit. Talent doesn't win alone in the NBA. It's talent and togetherness, man. You've got to be wired in, and you've got to have 8-9 guys on that team that know they're going to play and are willing to sacrifice and do whatever it takes that night to win that basketball game. If the Clippers get that, they have enough talent to compete with everybody. But, I mean, you know, hey, that's a big if. If you don't have that after, what is this, their third year, fourth year of being together? I don't know. Do you develop that overnight?
No, it's just like football. You don't develop that overnight, Coach. Because I was looking at the game also, and I'm saying that Golden State's coming off a back-to-back. The Clippers had 2 days of rest. I mean, what kind of it was a huge statement for Golden State to come in and play that way, because you tell me, would you rather play on a back-to-back? I know the answer, but just tell our listeners, you wouldn't want to have to come play the Clippers on a back-to-back. You would rather be the team that
especially while they're waiting
yeah,
for you for 2 days.
You'd rather be the team that's resting for 2 days. Am I right?
Well, here, let me tell you something, which I was a little bit different in this thing. I loved when we play the game, one of the top teams in the league, it would be your fifth game in 7 nights.
Okay.
And you'd kick their ass, and you'd say to them, yeah, baby, this is our fifth game in 7 nights. Just think what I'm going to do to you when I have 2 or 3 days rest like in the playoffs. I can't right. wait to see your ass in May or June. Let's go, baby. I love that, because I loved when everything set up for the other team to beat you, the schedule, the travel, and you went in there and kicked their butt. And you looked at them and just said, man, we're not beating you on talent. We're beating you on grit. We're just beating you on toughness. We're going to punch you in the mouth and see how much you like it. And, you know, now the NBA has changed from when I played. But that same mentality has got to, you know, hey, you guys, talk, you know, football guys, okay? How about the first play of the game, your entire team, your entire defensive unit or offensive unit just punches the other team in the frickin' mouth. Just
yes.
comes off the line and punches them dead in the mouth. And you see them all go on their heels. You go, hey, Let's go. It doesn't. Nothing else matters. It didn't matter if you were tired before that. It didn't matter if your groin hurt a little bit before that. It didn't matter if you were a little beat up. Man, you got a sense of, hey, we got these cats on the run. Let's punch them in the mouth again. And I just think that's a great opportunity. Golden State came in and did that. They said, how you like us now?
Yes.
How you like us on the back end of a back end, the back end of a back-to-back? And you want to know something? We'll kick your ass. If we play five in a row, it doesn't matter, because that night, when that game starts at 7:30 and the blood starts flowing and you get an elbow in the mouth and you start getting ready to go and the adrenaline starts going, you're not tired unless you tell yourself you're tired. If you can't fight for 2.5 hours, you don't belong in this league.
And, we love James Harden, Coach, and that's why we're going to take a break and be back with you in just a minute here on ESPN 97.5.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. Here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Keenan McCardell on an F Yeah Friday. When you have the offense, Keenan McCardell, the defense, Travis Johnson, the special teams for me, special ed, Joel Blank. And we are joined by the Hall of Famer, Kevin McHale. And Coach, I know you heard me before the break. That was just for you. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about something that I've noticed, and it started in that Clippers-Warriors game.
You're mean, and you're going to get me in trouble. That's two things. I just want to let you know that.
Well,
okay?
Both of those things are on my radar. You know that.
Yes, I know that.
But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what I saw with Blake Griffin. When he came into the league, here was a guy that was athletic enough, strong enough, and had a wingspan enough that he was in the post, even when he didn't have a lot of offensive moves. But he was getting the ball, and even if he missed the first time, he was getting putbacks, tips, rebounds. But he was concentrating his efforts in the paint. To his credit, he got better offensively, and they started pushing him to become a stretch a little bit. And I see this in Anthony Davis as well. Is it frustrating for you with your career as a big man to see guys like that that have so much talent that once they finally kind of settle in offensively and have some moves and develop a shot, they get completely away from their bread and butter, which was a low post?
Yeah, I think it's really easy to gravitate out towards shooting jump shots, especially if, you know, it's fine and the coach says, oh, you know, it's a good shot or whatever. And there are times, you know, there are times you got to take a couple shots, outside shots, but you should be taking that shot to set up your inside drive game. Like, where I think where Blake Griffin could be really good, if he catches the ball at 18, he's got a tremendous handle. He can really handle the ball. Attack somebody off the dribble. At 18 feet, getting there, he's got a nice little spin move. Don't settle all the time. I just think he settles too much. You know, I think there are nights where I watch a lot of big guys settle, Anthony Davis being one of them at times. There are also times when AD puts the ball on the floor, gets the line 14 times, and as a defender, you're going, oh, my God, I wish this guy would settle. Because he just puts so much pressure on you. I just think that Griffin has got to use his ability to put the ball on the floor and attack. Get more free throws. Get yourself going. Don't always hang around and say, geez, I hope that my 18-footer goes in. That'd be like in football. You throw three Hail Mary. Every time you get the ball, you just fire a 50-yard bomb down the field. You know,
Coach,
you know, sometimes you gotta punch him in the mouth and get in the trenches and do some dirty work.
Coach, if I was his coach over there, I'd go get a film of Dominique Wilkins and tell him to watch everything Dominique has, because I think he's just as explosive as Dominique and has similar games. He's probably developed a little bit better jump shot than Dominique, but I'm an old school guy, so I watched Dominique a lot, and he got to the rim as much as he could because he went to his strength. I don't think Blake does that. He plays to the defensive hands and shoots, and he settles, like you said. But I would give him Dominique Wilkins' film and say, you watch this and watch how many times he gets to the rim.
That's a good example of someone he should watch. Cause, I mean, Dominique, when you gave Dominique space, believe me, you were praying he shot it when you guarded him. You're like, I hope he shoots this ball. But he starts putting that ball on the floor and attacking and spinning, and he just puts a lot of pressure on you, and especially if you got a couple fouls, because you're saying, okay, this guy's continually making me move my feet. He's making me adjust my defensive stance. He's making me, there's going to be body contact. He's going to get into me and spin. And he's giving the referee every opportunity in the world to give me my third foul with two, you know, just starting the second quarter, so I have to go sit down. And I agree. I think that'd be fantastic for him. I again, he just has got to attack. And the thing is, you got to attack when it really means something, man. You got to attack when the game's in, you know, and the game starts going away from you. It's been a tie game. It's the middle of the third. All of a sudden, you're down seven. These next three or four possessions determine, are you going to be down 14, 15, and the game over? Are you going to get it back down to a 2-3 point game? That's when you've got to understand that the necessity and the urgency of that moment. I'm either going to get a damn dunk or I'm going to get fouled, and I'm going through you if I have to type mentality.
No doubt. I would like to see him attack more. But coming up with the Rockets playing OKC, what do you see? What's the matchup you're looking forward to seeing in this Rocket OKC matchup?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a great match. You're talking about James is playing at an unbelievably high level, and so is Westbrook. You know, I just think, who's the secondary guy? I think both those guys will play well. And what does Oladipo do? You know, how well does he play? You know, is, you know, can Eric Gordon, can he keep, you know, stepping up and making plays? And, you know, I think both Westbrook and James will have good games at the end of the, evening. It's going to be that next level guy. You know, could come in and really play well. But it should be a fantastic game. I mean, you know, Westbrook's playing. Westbrook for me is like must-see TV. When he's on, I watch. He goes in the big guy's chest. That kid's fearless, man. I mean, that kid has got, he's just tough, you know? And I tell you, knock him on his ass, he gets right back up. He's ready to fight you. I love that kid, man. He just plays hard. And look at, is he a perfect player? No, but who is? You know, does he sometimes overhandle? Does he sometimes drive into spaces where there's no room whatsoever? Yeah, but I mean to tell you, he's trying to make something happen every second he's on that court, on both ends of the court. And I'm a huge fan, so I'm looking forward to watching this game.
Coach, it sounds like you think Westbrook could play back in the days when you were playing, huh? The old school
days,
huh?
There's no question. Believe me, if Westbrook played back then, he'd already punched out half the guards in the league. He used to be able to fight back then. Believe me, there would be like he would have like a do not hit sign on his chair. They'd be like, leave him alone. There were some guys back then. Believe me, there were some dudes back then. You were like, I'm not going to fight this guy. This guy's nuts, man. You know, you may sell a bunch of wolf tickets and do a bunch of barking, but you ain't going to sing at the dude because they're crazy. He's one of those guys. I love those guys.
We talked about Murph, Calvin Murphy, being pound for pound the greatest fighter the NBA's ever seen, with one exception. Murph will tell you time and time again, if Al Addles ever even looked at him in the same direction, he was gone, because he knew Al was just crazy enough and strong enough and mean enough that that was no guy to mess with.
Yeah, no question. There's always those guys. Believe me, Westbrook would be one. In the good old days, when we said Westbrook would be like, man, we just stay away from that cat. You know, we're going to play hard. We're going to do stuff. But, man, do not get down to the point where you're swinging, because he's just going to keep coming.
Well, how's the golf game? Because I know that we got all three golfers at the table, but actually we're going through a cold spell right now here where it's in the 30s, and I know that you're kicking it in Arizona where it's nice and toasty and you're playing golf.
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna head out, and that's why when you asked, when can we talk, and I said, right now, because I'm going out, and I got a little tea time here coming up, and I'm going to go out there and enjoy myself on the golf course. Yeah, beautiful day, about 75 here in Scottsdale, and I'm just going to go enjoy myself.
A lot better than doing game planning after a shoot-around and then getting ready for a ball game tonight, huh?
Yeah, there's something to be said for this lifestyle. I'm digging it.
What's your favorite course in Scottsdale?
Well, you know, I play, actually, Whisper Rock's probably my favorite complex.
Yes.
It's beautiful, and, you know, I mean, it's nice. I play up here at Desert Highlands, and it's just, you know, I'm a member here because we bought a home here, which automatically become a member. And it's a tough golf course, man. Every time I go out there, I'm like, damn. But, you know, it makes you become better. I just enjoy being out, man. Like today, go out and have a couple beers and relax and not worry about if my guys are going to show up and not worry about if Westbrook punches a certain guy or two in the mouth, what he's going to do. I always hated that stuff. I like when you punch a guy in the mouth, he punched you back.
Well,
there's no questions asked.
It's great to walk in your locker room at the golf club and know that there's not a line in the sand and you have to figure out who's on what side.
Yeah. I mean, Keenan keeps dodging my golf appointment, man. I've been asking Keenan to get back on the course since we live on the same course, but he keep dunking.
Coach, when you come in, we'll all get together. We'll play some golf. We'll look forward
Absolutely.
To better
It'd
weather.
Fun,
we'll get going. Coach, have a great weekend. Thanks as always for joining us.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Kevin McHale's been our guest as he joins us weekly here on the show. And as he goes off to play golf, we still have plenty of show to get to. You want to be a part of the show? 713-780-ESPN. You can call, you can text, or you can reach us on Twitter. We're all here till 4, ESPN 97.5.